take your Bible this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85. And I want everyone to settle in now. It's time for the sermon. And we, of course, want as few interruptions as possible. Psalm chapter 85. May I say this? Today is the opening day of our fall attendance campaign. And, of course, the theme is it's old-fashioned revival time. I want to talk to you today. The sermon is called Revive Us Again. Revive Us Again. Brother Dave, do we have this mic on right here? Psalm chapter 85. Now, if you would please, I'd like for you to stand to your feet. Psalm chapter 85. Everyone standing, look at verse number 1. Psalm chapter 85, verse number 1, the Bible says this. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Look back up at me, if you will, please. In some of your Bibles, you will find a little caption right above verse number 1. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Korah. If any of you know the story of Korah, it didn't turn out real well. There was a terrible disloyalty and a mess that was caused by Korah. Now there is a psalm that's being written to help revive a group of terribly backslidden, negative type of people. And that's what's taking place here. Again, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again? Verse 6 is where we get the title, Revive Us Again. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes we could concentrate and that we would, Lord, be challenged by the preaching and the scripture. Indeed, Lord, revive us again. Holy Spirit of God, reach down into this congregation and do something supernatural today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read another verse to you. You do not have to turn to it, but listen. In Amos chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says this, and I also have given you cleanliness or cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in your places. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now, back to Psalm chapter 85. These people in Psalm chapter 85, they recognize their need of revival. And that's why in verse number 6 it says, wilt thou not revive us again? Now, what in the world is it that caused them to realize they needed revival? Because they're saying, God, can you revive us? Can you help us, Lord, to ignite ourselves spiritually? Well, if I could, I'll show you. In verse number 3, it is very obvious. It says, thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Now, if you look at me, God's wrath had been pointed toward these people. And they were suffering a loss because of God's wrath. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you want to know why it is, when you get to verse number 6, they say, well, will you revive us? They have themselves in a mess, and the wrath of God is now upon them. They are suffering loss because of their behavior, and God's wrath is upon them. Then, if you look at verse number 3 again, it says, thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness. Now, let me tell you, you talk about somebody that could get fierce, it is God. And now we're finding out that the fierceness of God had been witnessed by these people. So God's wrath had been pointed toward them. The fierceness of God had been pointed toward them. And then in verse number 3, he goes on and says, has turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Now we not only see the word fierceness, now we see anger. These people had made God angry. They had gotten away from God, and God had tried to get their attention, and he has shown his fierceness. God has shown his wrath, and now they are seeing the anger of God. Now go to verse number 4. And in verse 4 it says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Again, they bring up the anger. They said God's angry with us. God's not happy with us. Now, if you look at verse number 5, it says, "Wilt thou be angry with us forever?" And now they're saying, "God, is this long-term anger? Are you going to be angry with us for a long time?" That's why they use the term forever. God, you're disappointed. It's obvious your anger. You've shown your wrath. We've seen your fierceness. We see that you're displeased. I hope this doesn't last forever. Again, in verse number 5, it says, "Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" And listen, now he not only says that you're angry with us, we've seen your wrath, we've seen your fierceness, we don't want this to last forever. Now they're beginning to get worried. They're saying, "God, you're angry with us. Is this going to affect our kids?" When he says next generation, he said, "This is going to affect our kids. This is going to affect our grandkids." Then we go into verse number 6 and they say, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" And let me explain something to everybody in here. If you need revival in your life and you're not willing to have revival, that is going to affect your kids. And if you need revival in your life, but you're not willing to have revival, that is going to affect your grandkids. And God said that this group of people, they're in a situation, and I'm not going to go into the situation that this is written to the sons of Korah. They were involved in a total mess where people were away from God. Now they've seen the wrath of God. They've seen the fierceness of God. They've seen the anger from God. And they're going, "How long is this going to last? We know we're in trouble with God because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. Is it going to last forever? And God, if we don't get revival, we realize it's going to affect our children, it's going to affect our grandchildren, and we need revival." And let me say to everybody in here, if America doesn't get her head screwed on straight, our children are in trouble, and our grandchildren are in trouble. America, you say, "Well, what does America need?" America needs revival. America needs revival. I have a question for you today. Do you need revival? Do you personally need revival? Hey, in your opinion, do you need revival? In your pastor's opinion, do you need revival? In God's opinion, do you need revival? The Bible says here in Psalm chapter 85, it says, "Revive us again." Us again. Folks, so you all know, you don't need to have one revival in your lifetime and that's adequate. As a Christian, something I learned a long time ago, I need revived, and I need revived every once in a while. And everybody needs revival off and on. I think the world could have revival. But it would take the nations in that world that they would each have revival. So if the world's going to have revival, I'll tell you something that would help. It'd help if America would have revival. It'd help if Mexico would have revival. It would help if Canada would have revival. But the world could have revival if the nations would have revival. But wait, the nation, America, could have revival. But really, the only way you're going to get that revival is if the different regions of the nation would have revival. You know what they need up north? They need an old-fashioned revival up north. You know what they need in the west? They need a revival in the west. You know what they need in the east? They need revival in the east. You know what they need in the south? They need, hey, the Bible Belt needs belted with the Bible. That's what the Bible Belt needs. We need to cease being religious and get ourselves right with God. We need old-fashioned revival. Old-fashioned revival. So the world could have revival, but the countries will have to have revival. The only way a country will have revival is if the regions in that country have revival. But the only way the regions in those country in that country will have revival is if the states have revival. You know, South Carolina needs a revival. Georgia needs a revival. Virginia needs a revival. California needs a revival. North Carolina needs a revival. But you know, you're not going to have revival in those states unless the counties inside those states have revival. Carteret County needs revival. Onslow County needs revival. Jones County needs revival. Craven County needs revival. But you know, you're not going to have revival in those counties unless you have revival in those cities. So within those cities, you need revival. Morehead City needs revival. Jacksonville needs revival. Greenville needs revival. Hey, New Bern needs a revival. But you're not going to have a revival in those cities unless you have churches in those cities that have revival. And the only part I have any control over is this one right here. And it may be that all the other churches want to play religion, but we're not playing religion around here. We believe there's a real heaven. We believe there's a real hell. We believe there's a real God. And we believe you can still have revival in this day and age. But hey, a city can't have revival because everybody on the political parties got together down at the courthouse and said, let's have revival. They'll have it because God made a revival center called the local New Testament Baptist Church that lifts up the Word of God and says, we're going to have revival. That's what it takes. But wait a minute. Twin Rivers Baptist Church can't have revival unless the families in this church want revival. You got to have some families that have decided, we want revival. We want revival. Now wait, you say, what's the goal? God wants revival across the world. But he doesn't just set the world on fire for God. It starts down at home. We need some families in our church that say, I want revival. But wait, you're not going to have family revivals until I have some dads that'll have revival. And some moms that'll have revival. And some sons and some daughters. Because you don't have a family revival. You have a revival of the individuals within that family. So the truth is, revival in this world starts with you. You. You say, I want to see our world change. Then you change. You start the revival. See, we all say, I want the world to change. I want America to change. I want the state to change. I want our county to change. Wow, I want revival in my church. I want revival in my home. If you really want revival in your home, then you start the revival, Dad. Then you start the revival, Mom. Then you start the revival, young man or young lady. Everybody's hoping somebody will get something going for God. Well, God's hoping you will get something going for God. Boy, we live in a day where it's pass the buck and find somebody else responsible and let's find somebody to carry us. Hey, nobody's going to carry your part of the revival. It's your part. Our church can't have revival unless everybody pitches in to do their part. I have a goal for this service this morning. I'd like to get a revival started. But it's not church-wide. It's you. Personal. Everybody under the sound of my voice say, I'm for revival. And people spout off, amen, preacher, let's do this. This is going to be great. Well, then we'll find out. Your revival will not be stopped by others. If I don't have revival, it's not my wife's fault. My wife doesn't have revival, it's not my fault. Look, if you don't have revival, that's your fault. That's your fault. We all want to blame somebody. Got to be somebody's fault. But it's our fault. Do you want revival? Do you need revival? Have you retired on God? Have you shifted into spiritual neutral? You're backslidden, cold, unconcerned, unmovable, apathetic, satisfied. Got a decent building. Got a church with a decent reputation. We ought to be satisfied. You got your wife, kids, your job, your house. Don't tamper with my comfort. Are you in a state of revival? Well, you say, no, not at all. Hey, I wonder. I think our church has been experiencing revival for the last many years. But I wonder if somebody else has been carrying your part of the load. When I read to you from Psalm 85:6, it said, revive us again. Revival starts with the individual. And then it spreads. Somebody in a family gets on fire for God. And that fire spreads to somebody else in the family, and then it spreads throughout the families of the church, and then it can spread throughout a community, then it can spread throughout a city, then it can spread throughout a county, then it can spread throughout a state, then it can get to a region, then it can turn around a country. Hey, that's how God's always done it. It doesn't start at the top and work down. It starts with me and you as individuals where we get our heart right with God. And let me tell you something. You could be in the deadest church in the world and you could still be having revival. Because you can have revival if you want to have revival. Everybody here today, the sermon's simple. I'm asking you if you want to have revival or not. You. Is your life in a state of revival for God? Now it gets simpler. First of all, do you need a spiritual attitude revival? Do you need a spiritual attitude revival? Isaiah 57:15 says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Here, he's talking about a revival. It's reviving. The word contrite, it talks about having a contrite spirit. It says that somebody has a humble spirit. Do you recognize your attitude and how crippling it can be to revival? Revival takes a humble spirit. You say, what exactly are you saying? Well, usually, if you're going to have revival, it's not because you're arrogant. It's not because you're full of pride. It's because you know you're needy. And it's because you're humble in the presence of God. Usually, the people that say, "I don't need revival," are the ones that need it. "I don't need this, Pastor." Then you're the most desperate one. We need an attitude revival. The word spirit that's used here in Isaiah 57:15, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It is talking about our spirit, our attitude. Your spirit is your attitude. Do you need an attitude revival? How's your spiritual attitude? About what have you developed a bad or a critical attitude? What about the Christian life? Do you now have a bad attitude about it? What's happened to your attitude? You used to love the nursery. Now you do nothing but gripe about it. You used to love the bus ministry. You do nothing but gripe about it. You used to love Sunday school. You used to love being in the hospitality ministry. Now it's a burden to you. You used to like to be in certain ministries. Now it's a burden to you. Matter of fact, you used to like your pastor. Now I'm just irritating. Oh, there are people here that feel that way. They can't even look me in the eye when I preach. And they're boisterous, usually. I'm telling you, our attitudes, they get bad. And you're never going to have revival until you make sure you get that attitude right. Do you no longer appreciate the church and no longer appreciate your ministry and no longer appreciate your salvation and no longer appreciate the Bible? Do you find yourself manipulating and maneuvering around spiritual issues rather than being honest and just getting right with God about them? Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh." It's talking about somebody with a bad attitude and they're locked in. I got a bad attitude, and I'm going to keep the bad attitude. Hey, do you need a new spirit? Do you need a new attitude? Do you need a fresh new attitude about serving God? Hey, maybe the reason you're not in a state of personal revival is because you've got an attitude problem about the things of God. But not only that, do you need a walk with God revival? Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Here's talking about walking with God. Now look, you may need a revival in regard to your walk with God. If you don't have a wholesome walk with God, you will not have a good attitude about the ministry. We say it all the time, but it bears repeating. How are you doing on your Bible reading? For some of you, you really need to be honest with yourself. You don't read your Bible, and you're supposed to. And you're not going to have revival if you won't read your Bible. You just work God in if you have time. Boy, you need God, And you need His Word. Do you really read it? Do you really love it? And by the way, if you loved it, you would obey it. You young people, if you love mom and dad, you need to obey your mom and dad. And if you love your God, you obey your God. And if you love the Bible, you will obey the Bible. But if we're going to have an attitude revival, we're going to have a Bible revival and a revival of walking with God. You walk with God by reading your Bible. You walk with God by your prayer life. Do you really pray? Let me ask you a question. Would God consider you a prayer warrior? Are you a warrior or a dabbler? Y'all know the word dabbler? Dabbling? My mom, there's another word my mom used to use, putzing. She said, "You're putzing around." My word's goofing off. Are you a prayer goof off? I wonder, some of you men have been around churches and the Bible, and are you a praying man? Are you just religious? Come to church with your Bible under your arm and, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, but you don't pray a lick. You haven't been on your knees in such a long time. Look, you cannot have a revival in the world unless individuals decide to have that revival. We don't have revival because we got attitude problems. We've got spiritual attitude problems. And spiritual attitude problems come from a lack of being spiritual, walking with God. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. Somebody called me from a distant city the other day, and they were panicked. And they said, "Brother Owens, I'm so glad you picked up your phone. I've got to know that in the next couple of minutes you will pray. I think my whole life is going to disintegrate. And you're the one person I wanted to call and ask in the next 5 minutes if you would pray with me." I was petrified. And I prayed. Would anybody call you? Would anybody say, "My whole life is in jeopardy and I know you get your prayers answered"? Could your kids call you? Could your spouse? Could anybody count on you to get a hold of the God of the universe because you really know how to pray? Or is it a game? And the reason our country does not have revival is because religion has become a game. And churches don't have revival because it's become a game. If we get to put our fancy Sunday go-to-meeting smile on and grab our Bible and walk down there and act religious, but we're not close to God. People say, "You can't have religion in this day and age." No, you don't want to have revival in this day and age. It's not that you can't have true religion. It's not that you can't have true revival. People don't want it. They got a bad attitude. Why? They don't walk with God. Now, are you spiritual? Huh. You know, we can put on all the show we want in front of everybody down at the church. You might impress people. But God knows the real you. And God knows the real me. Amen. We need revival. Attitude revival. A walk with God revival. I think we need a soul winning or a witnessing revival. Proverbs 14:25 says, "A true witness delivereth souls." Kind of a neat verse. A true witness delivereth souls. When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? And just so you know, that's kindergarten witnessing. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to be honest with you. Giving out a gospel tract is kindergarten witnessing. Because all you have to do is hand in that tract and run and hide. Right? Hang in a door hanger and run is not hard. When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? When's the last time you won a soul to Christ? Some of you all be in shock. If I went into total old-fashioned preacher mode, you'd be having babies in here. Man, I've sat in church services where the preacher calls the roll. How about you? 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 Haven't seen you in church in a while. You say, oh, pastor, I'd go somewhere else. Well, they usually do. When was the last time you witnessed to somebody? There are people in here, you know how to get people saved. What's the problem? You too busy? Too busy making money? Paying for the nice vehicles and houses? Now, I'm not against you having a house and I'm not against you having a nice house or a vehicle. I am against that being so important that you don't have time to witness. See, well, you got to live. Everybody's got to live somewhere for all eternity. You better thank God Jesus gave up His riches to come down here and live in this sin-cursed world and die on a cross to keep your lazy soul out of hell, because you would have died and gone to hell had Jesus had the same attitude toward you that you have toward other people when it comes to witnessing. When was the last time that you won someone to Jesus? When was the last time that you were prompted by the Holy Spirit to witness? You ever have that happen to you? You're in a hurry, and you're at the grocery store, and you really don't have time. Lord does this to me all the time. I'm always in a hurry. I need to get in, get out, and the Lord says, witness. I say, next time. I'll do that next time. Lord says, witness, Jeff. Take the time. Well, I'm busy. I've got your work to do. Any of you remember God prompting you to witness? When's the last time that happened to you? Or have you rejected it so many times it doesn't even happen to you anymore? You say, it's been a long time. Been a long time, not because God didn't want you to witness, but you won't listen and you become callous and uninterested. You say, well, I go to a soul-winning church. You go to a church where somebody else wins the souls, but not you. There are people in here, you're such a hypocrite. You wouldn't even join a church if you found out they were not soul winners. And what you're saying is, I need somebody to go do all the work for me, and I wouldn't be a part of a church that wouldn't win souls, but I'm not going to do it, you hypocrite. You got to breathe, folks, or you die. Take a breath. Do you need an attitude revival? Do you need a revival in regard to your walk with God? Do you need a revival about soul winning? When was the last time you prayed about someone being saved till it hurt? You say, Pastor, I'm a little afraid to witness because I've kind of forgotten the verses. You know why you forgot them? You never use them. Matter of fact, you say, well, I'm not afraid. Maybe I ought to bring you up here and let you give us a little discourse on how to win someone to Jesus Christ real quick. You say, I'm not. Oh, don't call on me. If you don't use your toothbrush, your breath will stink. If you don't use your New Testament, if you don't use the plan of salvation, your attitude will stink. Proverbs 11:30 says, he that winneth souls is wise. Do you need a soul-winning revival? Hey, fourthly, do you need a revival in your desire to be used of God? Habakkuk 3:2 says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work. Revive thy work. Hey, if God revives his work, you know how he does it? God revives his work by using kitties. Kittens. He uses kittens to revive his work. You say, no, that's ridiculous. You're right. He uses crayons to revive his work. No, he doesn't use crayons. He uses people. He doesn't use the lost to revive his work. He uses the saved. If God's going to revive the work, he's got to do it through people. And you happen to be a people. Do you need a revival in your desire to be used? Is God doing a work through you? Do you want God to use you? Do you want God to use you, or are you just wanting to use God? Give me a good marriage.
Give me a good husband. Give me a good wife. Give me good kids. Give me a nice house. Give me an America. Give me a nice church. Give me a nice car. Give me a nice job. Give me good health. God said, give me a little piece of your time to go soul winning or get into ministry. He said, well, God, that's not what I asked for. I'm in this to see what I can get. Give me. Take care of me. Watch out for me. Folks, my question is, do you want God to use you, or are you just using God? Is your Christianity really all about you? Do you live right for you? Or do you live right for God and for others? In whose life outside your immediate family are you making any difference at all spiritually? And remember this, Sunday school teachers, it's not just about filling up your classroom. It's about changing the lives of people. Same for bus routes. And some of you Sunday school teachers can be thankful that bus captains are so productive, or you'd never have anybody in your class. You never visit. You never go soul winning. And for those of you, you know, we're trying to have a church membership revival. A sermon like this, we probably have retractions from the membership rather than additions. But that's okay. God knows what He's doing. You say, well, Pastor, I've paid my dues. Nobody has paid their dues. Well, let me tell you what I used to do. You can go ahead and tell me all the history you want, but used to do is not what needs to be done right now. I used to go soul winning. I used to teach Sunday school. I used to work on a bus route. I used to be faithful to church. I used to come to Sunday night. I used to come to Wednesday night. I used to sing in the choir. Well, what happened? Are you too busy for God? Has God blessed you with so much that you now don't have time for God? He can work that out. He can take some of it back. You say, I'm getting so many hours at work, I don't have time for God. Maybe God ought to take a few hours away. And let me warn you. You say, I've got so many kids, I don't have time for God. He can fix that too. You need a revival? And your desire to be used of God? Do you have a desire in regard to being usable? You know, to be used, you got to be usable. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Our righteousness, you say, what is that? That's our holy living. That's our separation of life. Look, little righteousness means little fruit. Much righteousness means the possibility of much fruit. Folks, we clean up our lives not just to be clean. We clean up our lives to make us more usable. What change have you decided that you're not willing to make for God, for Him to be able to use you? What change? There are people, under the sound of my voice, who have decided, there are some things I will not do for God. Now, you might not have had that point blank, brazen conversation with God, but that's basically your stance. I'm not willing to change certain things to be used of God. There is a price to pay if you want God to bless you. That's all there is to it, folks. So, you know, we're to be usable. Are you willing to say to God, listen, are you willing to say to God, God, I will change anything you want so you can use me the way you want to use me. God, I'll change anything you want so you can use me the way you want to use me. Like what? You may have to give up some bad music for God to really bless you. You know, God's not going to bless you and use you to influence people when you spend your time listening to music that talks about sex and drugs and rock and roll and all the filth that goes along with it. And you want God to bless you? Say, God, I want to help people become holy. And God says, why don't you become holy so I can use you to influence people to become holy? You may have to change. You may have to change your entertainments. You may have to change friends. And I'm not saying cease to be friendly toward anyone. But if you're running with people that are trying to talk you into doing wrong, and then you turn around and say, God, use me. God doesn't trust you with a usefulness. You may have to change your music. You may have to change your entertainments. You may have to change your friends. You may have to change the way you dress. But there may be a need of a change. And that change could make you more usable by God.
But a lot of people aren't willing to do that. Are you willing to say to God, whatever you want, I'm willing to change it so you can use me the way you want to use me? I'm finished, but I'll finish with this last point. Do you need a revival of submission to the Holy Spirit of God? Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Have you grieved the Holy Spirit? See, how do you do that? He speaks to you, and instead of being submissive, you get mad. You get offended. You get paralyzed. You retract from Him instead of moving toward Him. You grieve Him. Do you need a revival of letting the Holy Spirit speak to you? Has the moving of your own emotions taken the place of the moving of His Spirit in your life? You say, how do you do that? Here's how you are. Well, here's what I feel like I ought to do. Here's how I feel about that. Here's how I feel that ought to be handled. Can I tell you something? Your feelings will lie to you over and over and over again. If God said it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care how you feel about it. Well, let me tell you how I feel. Well, I'm glad you have feelings. God gave them to you, but not so that you could use your feelings as an excuse not to do what you're supposed to do for God. Never let your feelings take the place of the Holy Spirit of God. When's the last time you recognized the Holy Spirit spoke to you? I'll tell you, the reason why some people are not filled with the Spirit, you're filled with bitterness, criticalness. Hey, does the Holy Spirit even speak to you anymore? Are you sitting in here right now just bored out of your mind? There's some people right now that feel like God just reached down into their heart straight from heaven and is squeezing their heart for everything it's worth. There are others that are thinking He's got to be done in just a couple of minutes. That's submission to the Holy Spirit and the avoiding of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled people recognize Spirit-filled people, by the way. I hate to say it. I've been in a few church services where I watched a preacher preaching and I'm going, a little lame. A little too much personality, not enough Spirit of God. Listen, you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Folks, we call our fall program, it's old-fashioned revival time. Our country could be the key to a revival across the world. But it's not going to start with the country. It's going to start with our state or the region. But it's going to have to start in our county. It's going to have to start in our city. It's going to have to start in our church. It's going to have to start with your family. And really, just scrap all that. The whole key is you. Nobody can stop you from having a revival. If only one person in a church wants to have revival, they can. Hey, if you're not going to do it with me, I'll have my own. And let me tell you something. While you're busy calculating what it will cost you, what will it cost me? You better calculate in what your salvation cost Him. In this day and age, true revival and true revival preaching is a thing in the past. People are shocked when it's made personal. And that's because we've been desensitized by political correctness. I'm interested in biblical correctness. And folks, if we're going to have revival, let's let it start with you. Let's let it start with me. We've planned a 4-week revival. I plan to have one, and this is going to sound so bad. I plan to have one with you or without you. You ought to plan to do your part. If you're not saved today, we invite you to the Savior. If you're not saved, that's the key. The word revive has the prefix R-E. It means again.
I just preached to the Christians and said, get it together again. Get back on track. But to a lost person, it's not re. You need vived. You need salvation. That's where it begins. If you're not saved today, we welcome you to the Savior. If you're saved, I welcome you to an altar. Somebody here needs revival. Might I remind you that these people in Psalm 85, they had faced the wrath of God, the fierceness of God, the anger of God, and they said, how long is this going to last? And then they said, our kids and our grandkids are going to be affected. We better get revived. Can I tell you something, parents? Get the revival now instead of regretting not having it later. Get yourself close to God. Wilt thou not revive us again? And then Amos 4:6, he said, yet have ye not returned. Revive us again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you're not sure if you died today, you would go to heaven. We invite you to the Savior. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're one that's going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, with this, when this invitation starts, you go to the baptistry area and you prepare. If you've never been saved, if you died today, you say, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. If you'll raise your hand right now, I will pray for you. I'll pray that you get saved. God, if you're not saved, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. We will pray for you. Who here would say, Pastor, I want revival. I want it. God has spoken to my heart. Would you raise your hand? Let God see it. Hands up all over the place. Now, talk's cheap. Put your hand in the air. That's easy. Let's let it move you. Let's make a difference in our lives and our community. If you need the altar, I want you to come. If you need to come to this altar and say, God, start with me. I'm willing to have revival in my life. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, people are coming already. If you need this altar, you come. I want revival. I need revival in my walk with God. I need revival in my prayer life. I need revival in my Bible time. I need revival. I've got an attitude that's got to be cared for. I've got to tell others about Jesus Christ. I need revival. I need revival. I need to want to be used of God. I need that Holy Spirit to speak to my heart. And I am not a fear-mongering preacher. I will tell you, though, if you don't get yourself straightened out with God, it will affect your kids. It will affect your grandchildren. If you've been saved and you've been baptized by immersion after your salvation, you're welcome to join membership with our church. We're under a membership drive that will begin happening immediately. And might I say, some of you might not like it. That joining our church does not give you all the liberty you would ever dream of. You don't get to take the church over because you joined it. It means you finally got yourself right with God by joining the church that you're attending. That's all it means. We sing, give me that old-time religion, but sometimes we don't even realize what it means anymore. We've watched so much suaveness on television. A preacher gets up and calls the roll like he ought to. You think, what are you doing being so bold? I think all them fellas that got their tail between their legs need to become more bold, and let's not calm down the people that would stand up and tell the truth. If you need the altar, you come. How about a revival, Christian? You say, I love America. Start a revival. Your own personal revival. There are yet those at the altar. We'll give them time. We're not in a hurry. You'll be on your way before you know it. I hope some of you will take the sermon CD that you heard in Sunday school this morning and actually listen to it. It'll charge you up. You say, I've already heard that sermon once before. It'd be worth your listening to it again.
If you're not saved, you need to get born again. If you've been saved, you need to get baptized. If you've been saved and you've been baptized, you need to get yourself into a local New Testament church. And I will tell you this, if this isn't the church for you, then go find the one that's for you. I'm not going to beg anybody to join the church. They ought to do that because it's right to do, not because the pastor begs them to. This is the last time through the song.